come into your presence at the end of a long day in your house. We thank you for the ministries and for the activities and the things that came to be today. And we pray that as we close the day, we praise your name again and learn a few things from the Word of God, especially from the Church of Sardis. And we pray that each lesson on the book of Revelation will be like a treasure from the last words of Jesus that will counsel us and guide us and give us a way of acting upon the truth that he's saying. Especially as Jesus review each church, we should review ourselves and our heart and be sure that our works are accepted of him. Thank you for those who have come and went home. Thank you for those who stay here tonight. And we pray that this will be a very blessed and wonderful time. And Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. We elect every hymn that we sing in the night from the pew. And we welcome those who just hook on the internet. And I was on the internet just a few minutes ago, and there were people already asking when we're going to be on the internet. So it is 5 p.m. when we are in the internet. God's willing, soon will be at 3:30 when we have the class, our class failure recording or something on the equipment. But we will record eventually correctly. Your song tonight will be what number, all right? One song that you choose. I see a young fellow's hand. Yes, tell me. 479, we do it by about 10 minutes from now, all right? Good, yeah, that's...
We got you.
Pardon me?
We got you because we go up fast and then we know that they
still come. All right, here's Russ with all his grandchildren. All right. Yes.
How about
348? How about 348? Yes, let's do that. 348. I was on the phone with Pastor Van Dyken. He sent greetings to all of you. And he will be here on the 19th, 8 o'clock, for the breakfast and then speaking to the men. And he said, when are you going to have me at your church? Where are these other preachers doing in your church? You know, get a little jealous. So I said, well, Pastor, I'm going to get you for September, when I go on vacation in September, all right? So by that time, I die. He's 74 years old. And he, I guess he preached once a month or something like that. There shall be showers of blessing. 349? 300?
Oh,
348. 348. Okay, the beautiful garden of prayer. Son. Yes, Christina. Say it again. 361. All right. Boy, everybody on prayer. That's good. Hey, that's a good spirit.
Thank you.
have another son that you wanted to see tonight and rejoice. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yes, Brother Plika.
55.
Number 55. Jeff, because you got on the phone with him. He is in Oregon, and they're going to visit with Miriam next week, and Daniel. And Jeff suffered from a disease. Don't let him be away from his home. That's why he feels protection. And he took the plane. He said, I hold my wife's hand. He said, some people were looking. He said, but they don't know the sickness that I had. And then it's so beautiful. So you're going to see the Parade of the Roses in Oregon, and going to see Daniel said, well, you need to go this place, you need to go the other. He says, good, and it's America. He said, it's still America. All right. You know, sometimes we get diseases and difficulties in our life if we don't appreciate how good we are. And when the brain does not work well, some beloved people suffer, and we need to understand that. All right, another song. I see my good friend Michael, Captain in Chief. Jesus loves me. We get to there. It's 5 minutes to go. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, darling.
38.
38. Certainly. 38 is beautiful. Joyful, joyful. We adore thee. Thank you very much. She is hermosa. Yes, sir.
455.
All right. Señorita Michelle.
402.
402. You like that name? Eh? Isn't that beautiful? Faith is the victory.
Against the
faith is the victory. All right, Señor Antonio.
5:12.
School is over and you are, not yet? When will it be over for you? This week, this coming week. All right, you have to, the whole week or until Friday or
Thursday?
All right, is anybody else got to school yet still? Somebody else? No, only Anthony. Whoa, what a student, eh? He keeps on going. All right.
Very soon.
Oh. He doesn't care the school closed. He keeps on going. All right. All right. Bye, Anthony and Troll. Choir right here, 479. Jesus love me, yes I know. And for those who are listening on the internet, this is a special choir. Takes a lot of preparation for these people to come here. All right, here we have this sweetheart. Yes. All right here. All right, Michael, you go first. Okay, let's see. All right. No discrimination, all together, all right. Okay. We all going to sing hard, okay? Yeah, this is fantastic. All right, Jesus in the back. She directs from the back, like a Hebrew shepherd from the back. All right, here we are. Okay, here we are. Thank you very much. Let's give a hand to these people. That's fantastic. Wonderful. That's a special from the pastor here. It takes a lot of preparation every Sunday to get this choir going, huh? All right. Oh, okay. It's just amazing. They have the courage to come and sing. Simple like that. They are our children, and that's the key. All right. 206, all right, 206, and I think we close with this one so that I can have an opportunity to teach something, and then it will be something special tonight after this sermon, some special presentation. 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Thank you.
Revelation chapter 3, let's have a word of prayer before the study tonight. And as you know, it's a mutual study altogether. And if our brother can push the button on the lights over there to get it on so that we can have the screen. Father, we thank you that now we can put some times in the meditation of God's word. Teach us from the lesson that we're going to receive from the Church of Sardis. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, there is a flying microphone that will go. If you have a question, I'm going to switch right here. One thing for here. And I want that microphone to go to Brother Dulilo as he will read for us verses 1 to 6 on Revelation chapter 3. And as our brother look into the scripture, may I tell you that the book of Revelation is the revelation to John. And I read the book over and over, I'm more than ever convinced that these are the last words of the Lord Jesus to the church. And now, our brother, I give you a review of what we study, but our brother is going to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 1.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead.
Until verse 6.
Okay, thank you. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Thank you, my brother. This is the section, the portion, they start chapter 3 in reference to the commentary of God about the church of Sardis. When we start Revelation, we said at the very beginning that Revelation has a preface, and in that preface we find out those first three verses, a lot of details. What I really like you to remember from verse 1 to 3 is the key thought. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a revelation and not a mystery. And most people said the book of Revelation is a mystery. Well, that's against what the books stand for. The book of Revelation is a revelation. Now, we can say openly that many times we do not understand the full meaning of the revelation, but it is a revelation. Now, after the preface, we have a covering letter which covers the rest of the chapter, and there were great announcements made to the church. Remember, grace and peace are yours. In the Old Testament, grace and peace was transferred through the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus is a faithful witness. Jesus coming again. And then Jesus is God. That's the key in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 1. And then there is announcement number 5. Jesus is the Lord. And the key on these verses, from verses 9 to 20, especially I put for you verse 12 and 13 here, the key is that Jesus is Lord of the church. No man, a man is not Lord of the church. Jesus is Lord of the church. And for some reason, God in the year 105 or so, when he wrote Revelation, for some reason, he put that into there, verses 12 and 13, where we focus on Jesus in many things, but also we need to focus that the Lord of his church is the Lord Jesus, and no man should take any place. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is a personal observation to the churches. And as you look to the whole picture, it's just telling you and me that as a church, we need to be careful not to do the mistakes these churches did. As you remember, we studied Ephesus, and they were wary and well-doing. Do you remember, anybody remember, what was the particular finger of God on Ephesus? They were great theologians. Is there any remember that what God said? Yes, sir. The loss of first love. But you have lost your first love. In Smyrna, the message was do not surrender, because they have a lot of opposition in the church. And God did not say leave the church. God said do not surrender, those who were there. In Pergamon, they were influenced by pagan society. And I can see that today in the church. In the church of God, there is a tendency to become popular. And in order to become popular, we take things from the world and we use it. And we use it in a manner that, I don't know, is questionable to me. Or either I'm too old, or it's questionable to me that doesn't worship the Lord properly. And last time we studied Revelation was in Thyatira, and was a compromising church. They don't want to be wrong with this and wrong with the other. They were good in certain things, but they allow who to teach? Jezebel, a lady by the name Jezebel, and she did not taught right. She was teaching wrong. No, it was a false prophet. And so they allowed them to have it. And today we're going to see Sardis, all right, as our brother have read it. All right, now you're going to participate with me. You have your Bible open in chapter 3 and in verse 1. And the introduction to this church is in verse 1. To whom is addressed the message of the church? To whom is addressed? To the pastor of the church, to the angel of, that's the pastor of the church. May I ask you why each time that we open Revelation 2 and 3, each time the letter is addressed, it's not addressed to the deacon board, it's addressed to the pastor. Why? Anybody has any suggestion? Yes, Brother Russ?
Pastor is a spiritual leader, the deacon board takes care of the work.
Yeah, the pastor is a spiritual leader, and if there's something wrong spiritually in the church, he is to be blamed for because of this. Brother,
if it's to the pastor, why is it say to the angel?
To the angel. Remember that we study who are the angel? An angel is a word that has two meanings. One would be an angel being in heaven, and also the word means messenger. So the pastor is a messenger according to chapter 1, verse 20, where God explained over there. All right, good. Very good. Russell, raise your hand again.
Well, I was going to agree with you. Doesn't the angel in heaven, isn't that a messenger of God?
It's a messenger of God. But the words used in Greek do not have a distinction. So sometimes when an angel came in, a messenger of God came in. But in this case, it's not a messenger as a being, an angel being, like in Revelation, like in Hebrew 4:11. A messenger, though. Yeah, it means messenger. And a pastor should be a messenger. When a pastor stopped to be a messenger, he stopped to be a pastor. All right. Now, the church identification is Sardis. Does anybody have an idea of Sardis? Let me find, tell you what I find out in the internet about Sardis. All right. Sardis was a city made of two sections. One like where I live, Lake Anderson on the hills, and the other where Raso lived, right here on the valley. All right. The original section was developed on a level area about 1,500 feet high up the side of the mountain. It was next to impossible for any enemy to penetrate their security and attack them. It was a very secure city. The second section was built where the city outgrew the first area on the side of the mountain. It was built at the base of the mountain in the valley below. But in spite of the fact that it was nearly impregnable, the city had been captured twice. There was only one place where the enemy could possibly get into the city. Both times it was captured, the guards were asleep. Wow. The guards were asleep, said. See, the same thing had happened to the Church of Sardis. The Church of Sardis went to sleep. See, when the history said that the guards, I assume no one or two guards, but the soldiers that were patrolling the city were asleep, the enemy came in. And when the pastor goes to sleep, theologically, that's what I put all the time I can in preparing your Sunday school material, because I'm the guard of the theology. See? When the pastor goes to sleep, things happen. So let's go to a Church of Sardis, a very secure church. And remember, in those times, war was all the time. People want to conquer churches, and they have to be built very secure. Now, the spokesman of the church, look at in chapter 1, in verse there, is that these things said he that had the seven spirit of God, all right, and the seven stars. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 20, so that we get an idea of who's speaking. The mystery of the seven stars, which I saw is at my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, the pastors. And the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. And so the spokesman is the one who, look at what they said. These things said he that hath, in other words, God has to be the speaker. Christ has to be the speaker, the one who had the churches and the one who had the pastor. God had it. He moveth, he raiseth, he closeth, he does. So Christ is speaking to the churches. Now, this is the introduction. There is a warning in verse 2. Look at verse 2, the warning that God places. It said, be watchful. What other way you can say be watchful? Obviously, like I put it, wake up. See? Wake up. You know, sometimes we know so much of the Bible that we are not watchful. We know, you talk to people, I talk to people sometimes, they know the Bible, but you say, well, the Bible is not affecting their life. And so they need to wake up. Look at what he says. Be watchful. And strengthened the things which remain. So there were certain things good. Strengthened means don't let go. The things you know, don't let go. The things you're doing good, don't let go. Keep on doing, all right? And check up what you are doing is the next statement. Say, they are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. In other words, check up what you're doing. God is saying, I looked into your words, and you have some problems. You know, that's a good way for a teacher to be, you know. You do a work, and then you present it to the teacher, and look at it, and say, oh, okay, you are developing an equation, or you're doing a problem. Say, so, you know, this is not the way you're supposed to. Why don't you check it back again and look in this area? That's a good teaching, you know. I said, now, you're reasoning good, but the end result is bad. Why don't you check it back? And God is very merciful and very patient. And he's saying to us, please, you're doing bad. God doesn't close the door the next day. He said, hey, come on, go back and look on it. And how can a pastor have help in order to to check up what he is doing. How can he have help? Tell me. Suppose that you are the congregation and you have a board of deacons, some churches have board of elders, and the pastor is doing good and bad, good and bad. And how can we help him? Brother Ken? Yeah, the pastor has to be accountable to. This pastor is accountable to the board of deacons. The board of deacons are accountable to the church together with the pastor. So nobody is free of doing what he wants to. So if an error come in, what could happen? What would be the best way to help the pastor? Yeah, you say, pastor, you know, let's have a cup of coffee, piece of cake, chocolate cake. And you know, the other day you taught this. I said, how that fit with this? No, we are very defensive in our mind. If you say to somebody, you are wrong, what happened? Whoom. The other guy get a machine gun on it. What is it? F-35, Ken knows all kinds of about game. You know, get all the machine gun ready, you know. But if you say, you know, you say that, yeah, are you sure? Yeah, but look, I read this. Will you study this and see how that helps the pastor alone with the scripture alone to look on it. And a good pastor will get convicted and apologize and change. And this is proper. Don't think it's bad. So there is a warning. They need to wake up. They were so confident they were doing okay. Now, the Church of Sardis was established, was a big church. And God said, there are some people who are doing well. Please don't let it go, but check up what you are doing. Now, we're going to look in the counsel that God gave to the church in verse 3. And look at what they said. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. In other words, go back to square one. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Each time that you want to know something, go back to your gospel. Go back when you get saved. And find out the simplicity of that moment. And that will help you in case of difficulties. Go back to square one. Go back to the moment of your salvation. That's why if a church has a lot of members who are not saved, that's a problem because they cannot go back to square one. See? All right? And look at what verse 3 says. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Now, here's a big discussion on this. And you go back to square one, and God is saying to the church, I will take care of the rest. Now, some people says, see, this is talking to believers. No, look at what God said. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief. And thou shalt not know at what hour I will come unto thee. If people say, see, he's talking to the church. No, no, no. And I'm going to do a work for you. Put one hand here, and let's go to 1 Thessalonians. All right? 1 Thessalonians. And let's go to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. All right? Now, remember, the scripture said, watch, I will... be like a thief. Is that right? They said, if therefore thou shalt not watch. He's not talking about the believers there. And I tell you why. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. But of the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall no escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, not of the darkness. The Lord is not coming like a thief for a believer. And that's one point. The Lord did not come as a thief for a believer. The unbeliever, we know the Lord is coming. We don't know the day, but we know the Lord is coming. But the unbeliever doesn't know. And when the Lord comes, it's like a thief. There is another observation. You saw the Revelation 3:3 say, watch. The believer doesn't watch, the believer waits. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. All right? Okay. Zechariah. In chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 8. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest. Excuse me, I'm reading wrong. Reading right. Zechariah 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men who wonder at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. In other words, God is bringing the servant, the branch. What do we do with that? We go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And look in verse 36. Luke chapter 12 and verse 36. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for the Lord. That wait for the Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Verse 36 and Luke 12:36 says that we wait for the Lord. The believer is waiting for the Lord. The unbeliever is watching. Wait a minute, is the Lord coming? But the believer is not doing that. The believer is waiting for the Lord. So God has a message, a counsel for the church. For the believer, each time you're in difficulty, go back to square one. Go back one square in your life and pick up the pieces there and move on. For the unbeliever, God said, I take care of them. Don't worry about it. I will come like a thief in the night. And when they less imagine, I'll be there and they will be judged. And that's the counsel of the Lord. Now, in verses 4 and in verse 5, in Revelation chapter 3, there is a challenge. And challenge number one is in verse 4. So let's move the Bible there back into Revelation, into chapter 3. And verse 4 says, thou hast a few name, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. All right? That's challenge number one. The church has few names. What means, class, have not defiled their garments? What that means? There's a few names, people that have not defiled the garment. What is in the Bible spiritually the garment? You said, Russ? The wedding dress. Something that you wear, and it's called in Isaiah the righteous, pardon me, the robe of righteousness, all right? Is that there are few people who are really saved in the church. Now, what I'm surprised is when we define what the church is, the God is saying to these people, hey, come on, there are few people, don't be afraid. There are some people who are saved, don't be afraid. All right? Now, the other challenge is verse 5, and is do not give up. Look at that. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. In other words, do not give up. Those who are believers, those who are saved, those who are in the body of Christ, do not quit the church because the church goes crazy. So if you hear a statement saying, well, the church is gone because the church is crazy, this church was crazy already 2,000 years ago. And God is saying to the people, do not leave the church. You who are believers, stand still. All right? Now, I have a question for you, and we all can share. You saw this church, all right? And it's just amazing. I want to go back to verse 1, at the end of verse 1, before you give me the name. The Church of Sardis is. I want you to tell me, how will you define the Church of Sardis? But let me give you the verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath seven spirit of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. I know the big sign you have at the door, that you are alive, but thou art dead. What is this church? Pardon me? Okay, apostate church. Why would you label this church? God already almost... Okay, it is a dying church, all right? It's not dead, it's still alive, but it's a dying church, all right? It's a dying church. What about grace activities, mighty church, powerful works, but it's a dead church? What do you think is happening? God says it's a dead church. Brother Russ?
They left their first love.
They left the first love? What's happening? All right? Maybe, and I'm saying maybe because the scripture doesn't say, maybe they're not teaching right. All right? They left the first love. They're not teaching right. They have all kinds of difficulties. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is tough. When people said, oh, Pastor, today the church is gone. Not so far like this one, where God said it's dead. I mean, that is something. And what a God said to a dead church, God looked on and said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night for those guys. But you who are a believer, keep on. Go back to square one, restrain your, and keep on going. Because you are the only light in that church. You see that? We are not calling to a church to make revolutions and things. No, we are faithful. We listen, whatever is good. We say, praise the Lord. This is good for my life. But we need to be faithful. Look in 1 Corinthians 4:2 for me. I think that's the key for all of us that will, as members of a church, that God challenge us. And you raise your hand, and our brother Jimmy will give you the mic, and we close with that verse because it's beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I hear Anthony have it, Jimmy. Anthony have that. Let's see that he put it on. Okay, read it for me. Yes.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
That's it. It is required of us who are stewards of the word of God that we remain faithful to God. We maybe do not change the church, but we are faithful. And we wait for whom? We wait for, we don't watch for the Lord. We're not afraid. Watching is a, when I play soccer in the goalie area, the coach will say, when the guys get the ball, you watch it. And you watch it. The ball goes on the left, you watch the right. The ball goes on the right, you watch the left. But not like that. We just wait for the Lord. We don't have to watch anybody. The Lord is our guide. And it's fantastic. This is a dying church. And hopefully that we will be so sensitive to God's word, the pastor, the deacons, the congregation, always will help each other to remain faithful to God. That's my dream. Right? Does anybody else want to add anything? All right. Okay. We will close this section. If for those who are in the internet, you can remain on if you want to. We have a special occasion tonight. Thank you for listening to the exhortation. And now we're going to have in a special occasion for our church. In actually a moment in which we want to say, let me get my Bible. Let me see before they destroy my little thing here. All right. Let me get my Bible. And there are a lot of people who are graduating this year, and I want to mention them. I have it right here, the list in my hand. On the college area, Amy Dulillo in the East Coast, and Lara Sumera, right here in California, all right? Woo-hoo! Then Fireman's Academy, Adrian Veloz, all right. So you don't have to call 9/11 any longer, you call the Veloz, all right? High School, Michelle Dulillo, Silas Veloz, Peter Adams, Valerie Neer, Adrian Menny, Christopher Mix, Robert Mix, Ryan Sumera. Wow! Junior High, Taze Neer. I guess are the guest people that comes. Is that the way you pronounce the first name? Tai? Well, just like in Spanish, Tai. All right. So, now I want to say two words before a mama comes here and tell you the real word, all right? I'm going to use one word from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament in chapter 12. in verse 1 to these young people. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verse 1. This is very important for you. Very, very important. Ecclesiastes 12:1 said this. Remember now, now that you graduated, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, when you are old like the pastor, all right, they have the leg, they can move, and the other eye, this. All right, remember thy Creator now. Now, I give you another verse. How can I remember my Creator? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. All right, Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, here is how you remember your Creator. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. All your future plans, all your ambitions, all the targets in the dreams you have in your mind will be added unto you if you first seek the Lord. Don't forget that. Remember your Creator now, and then when you remember him, seek him first, and then the rest will be history. God bless you. I'm so glad that we have so many that have stepped into this. But it's good to have a counsel of a mother. So I asked Marilyn on the spot today to speak to me. She spoke to me so excited about Amy this morning. I thought it was marvelous, the counsel that she was sharing with me. So, Marilyn, please, share it with us.
Okay, so now it's hard to believe that two of my little birds are spreading their wings and flying. And, this morning I was sharing with Pastor how Amy had called, and many of you know that she's in Washington, D.C., and she has finished 2 years. In 2 years, she's finished 4 years of college, so she's not even 20. And so this is a big step for her, and she's praying, and she has lots of prayer support with her girls that she talks with all the time, and they're all praying because she was in a course and she wanted an internship in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Times. And she needed an internship. She needed to get the internship. She needed maybe to have transportation. She thought she needed a car, but the transportation is really already there for her. And she needed a place to live. She needed these three things. And so very clearly, people were praying specifically for these things for her. So the fact that she was even in Washington, D.C., we already knew was where God wanted her because we had prayed very specifically about her getting into the course she was taking there. So I think it was on Tuesday, she called and said, I got the internship. I'm going to be working at the Washington Times this summer. And she was so excited. She wanted a different office. She's going to be at the business desk. But that's where the Lord put her. We were so excited. And then she needed a place to live. Transportation actually is public transportation in Washington, D.C., which is readily available. And although it's not her very own car, the Lord could still provide that. But I think the answer is public transportation on that one. So she was waiting for where to live, and I had written Greg right away and told him that she got the job and that she needed a place to live, and we put that on the Wednesday prayer thing. On Thursday she got a call, and she had some options. There's a church in Washington, D.C. that has a ministry to the interns to help them find housing. So she had connected with that church, and she had told them that she wanted to be with a family, not in the Capitol Hill intern dorm. I thought that was a good choice. And they had a family for her, a nice young couple with a three-year-old child, and that might work out. She was waiting for a call from them. And then out of the blue, Hannah Haberkamp, who was here with us for the last couple years, called her and said, you can live with us. They had read on the prayer request list that Amy was in D.C. and needed a place to live, and they called and said, you can live with us. And Amy said, Mom, I don't know what to do because I've got these two places, and the one, I can do this and that, and the other one is far away, and I don't know which one to do. And I said, well, you know, Amy, you're at a place where you know this is where the Lord wants you to be, but he's given you choices. And you have an opportunity to make a wise choice or to make a wrong choice. And we don't always know. You know, when you have those choices before you, you don't always know which one is God's will. So I told her, you need to lay out your fleece. You need to look at Gideon and you need to lay out your fleece so you know where the Lord is leading you. And yeah, Mom, blah, 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 you know. She didn't want to hear all that. It was kind of funny because while I was talking to her and saying all these things, she could hear me, but her cell line wasn't letting her voice come to me. So she was saying, oh, Mom, okay, cut it out. I couldn't hear her. So I finally said, are you there? Well, I can't hear you, so we must have lost connection. And I hung up and she called back and said, I could hear everything you were saying. So there was a little divine intervention there, I think. But she heard from the other people, and she listened to the difference in rent that would be charged and prayed about it and called me and said, I've decided to live with Hannah's family. And her reasons were very sound. She felt that Hannah's family would be a better direction for her as a young adult and would be a better family to guide her as a young adult, as opposed to a family with a small child that would treat her as an adult and not as a young adult. So I think she made a good choice, but you know, she was at that place where she had to make the choice, and it's hard. You know what? While you were sharing this evening, I thought of the church. They were asleep. Their guards were asleep. Not once. Twice. And how often have we been asleep? Yeah. So that's.
Praise God. Thank you.
Now we're going to call Amy's father to close in prayer right here. Yeah.
We want to know about Shelley.
Well, Shelley is different. We will tell you later. All right.
Well, we'd like to say congratulations to all the people that graduated. That's really what it's all about. So. Let's pray. Lord, we're just so grateful to be in your house today, God, and just to worship you and to all be here together and all that it means, Lord, for all of us. God, we just pray your special hand of blessing on those that graduated, Lord, and those that are still in school, too. And God, just give us a great summer and give each one of them a special time, Lord, of maybe just having a break this summer from what they're doing, and maybe before they go on with their careers or their work or going on to other grades in school. God, just give them a great encouragement, as we read today, Lord, this evening, that we're not to give up, we're to keep going, and we're not to stop, Lord, we're not to grow weary in doing good. Help us to not grow weary in doing good, all of us, and give us good encouragement to follow you, Lord, and as we see your hand in our lives, help us to become more faithful unto you, God, and to live as sons and daughters should live and in a way that's pleasing in your sight. We're grateful for the time this evening that we could all be here and just give us a good time of fellowship this evening. And we're grateful and thankful for all you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a cake, so you all can take a little part of it, all right?